We're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Take the L. What predictions did you have at the start of the year that it just didn't really work out the way that you thought? Now, it's very difficult for me because I rarely say anything incorrect or wrong, and my takes are usually perfect. There is an L in your name, Blankers, so it's kind of just natural for you to have an L every now and then. I'm just kidding. Let's take the L. What is the what's the one that sticks out to the top of your mind, Blankers?
I mean, I'll start with the one that's the most egregious, which is the Bengals. I thought the Bengals were the second-best team in the AFC. Getting Burrow back, having those two receivers, I thought they were primed to have a big year, bounce back, and be a very, very strong contender to not only make the playoffs, but get to a Super Bowl. And the Bengals have been dog snot. So I definitely missed on that one.
They're still losers, baby.
They're still sneaky.
There's still some time for them. And I think that everybody would be on board here. Yeah. And I think that, like, we thought that it would take 10 wins to get into the playoffs in the AFC. I think 9's in play.
Yeah, but yeah, I was
the last team, I think.
Yeah, I think you can go 9-8 and make it.
I thought it was them in Baltimore to win the division. I thought that they were the second best team in the AFC. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, there's a chance for them to get in the playoffs, but definitely not the strong team that I thought they were.
And I think this is probably a majority opinion that a bunch of people missed out on.
Like, sure, I shared it.
If everybody was like predicting their AFC playoffs, I don't remember seeing very many that did not have Cincinnati as one of the top seven teams in the AFC.
Yeah, one of my notes, and obviously Joel will have it here, but mine was, you know, Bengals over Steelers, which they have the opposite records right now. Steelers 4-2 and Bengals 2-4. So I think most of us got that wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that one's that egregious. Like, yes, it's wrong, and yes, you have to take the L on it. I would say that it's not done. Maybe you're not wrong. You were just early.
This isn't like Derrick Henry.
I have
stuff. There's a chance that a lot of these.
I have a really bad one. I have a couple of really bad ones. I thought that Dalton Kincaid was going to have a better fantasy season than Stephon Diggs.
Loser.
Yeah. Ouch. That was a loser take there, Branham. Dalton Kincaid has been, like every elite tight end, has been super mid, and Stephon Diggs has been incredibly productive. So, yeah, taking the L, thinking that Kincaid would be more productive than Stephon Diggs.
Process over results, but I agree with your process there, so I guess I have to take a co-sign that L. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, Kincaid looked like he was going to be the top target there. He had a good rookie season. The Diggs vacates. And
he still might be.
Well, I mean, now Amari Cooper's there.
Does change things, yes.
All right, so Joel mentioned it. This has been brought up a few times, but I had a preseason. Actually, no, it wasn't preseason. So technically, it was after week one with that Ravens-Chiefs game that kicked off the season. I didn't think Henry was a good fit in the King Henry was a good fit in the Ravens offense.
Yeah.
It was less about his age and more about, like, I don't know, he needs the single back, that he can't be in shotgun, blah blah blah. But yeah, got that one way.
Now you're calling him
way,
King. He's the real King. You're calling him King. He's the real King. No, he's earned it. Look, he's actually earned the name.
He might be the greatest old back I've ever seen. So I'm going to stop doubting him until he literally retires.
I remember us arguing about that then, next day, because that was a Thursday game.
It was a Thursday, so
we argued about it on Friday. Yeah. And you're like, I was like, I think he's just game specific. I think he's going to be just fine.
Turns out you were right.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that. You got another one?
Team up in Dallas. I thought that the Cowboys were a playoff team. I thought they were the second best team in the NFC East. I thought that they weren't going to be Super Bowl contenders, but I did still think that they were going to be highly competitive, and they are a dumpster fire.
Hello, Brian. They get a cameo.
Get the Nick Sirianni audio just so we can use him next.
I'll get that for next week. Well, whenever we do this again.
Cowboys are the second best team in Texas. They are that. I still think they have a shot. I think they still have a shot to make
the playoffs. Like, I agree.
They gotta make some
moves. I agree that
the
Bengals aren't done. I think the Cowboys are done.
I think they still have a shot.
Saw the rumor today that they're trying to get Chubb from Cleveland if Cleveland fire sales.
Really?
I don't think Chubb helps them.
I think he does.
If he,
he's an upgrade.
Depends on what version of Nick Chubb you get.
Yeah, I'm not saying that Chubb is going to be fantastic, but is he better than Rico Dowdle and Ezekiel Elliott?
Well, probably, but I think they're in on the receiver conversation. They're on the running back. But this is stuff that Jura should have done in the offseason.
No doubt. No doubt. Yeah, I think both things are definitely true, and that one's more true. I thought the Vikings would be a bottom eight team in the NFL. Like, and the reason that this was a conversation in Houston and within the show is because the Houston Texans traded Minnesota's second-round draft pick next year for the likes of Stephon Diggs. So the Vikings and their performance this year is something that we have to keep in mind because it's what you traded for Stephon Diggs. Thank you, Minnesota, for being one of the best teams, if not the best team in the NFL, that turned what I thought was going to be a pick somewhere between 33 and 40 into a pick that might be in the 60s. Thank you for that, Minnesota.
Oh, I think we're all on
Thank
that
you.
Boat.
I was too.
Yeah,
yeah, I was
big time mad because of the fact that I thought that. Yeah, I thought that Minnesota pick had a ton of value.
I thought they would be a bottom eight team in the NFL, and they've been a top two team in the NFL. So I was way off on that.
All right, so the other one that you guys have brought up multiple times that I was a little bit off on, just a little bit. I think I said in the offseason, Singletary, greater sign, Joe Mixon. Might have been off on that one. Now, I will say, I think obviously Singletary will look better here than he is in that Giants trash offense. But still, regardless, Joe Mixon has far more left than I thought he did. So that was a terrible take.
I'm a loser, baby.
Terrible, terrible take.
Yeah.
Apparently, I'm not a running back guru.
I think I've noticed a flaw with you, though, when it comes to
your... There's more than one, Jeremy.
I think that you have a blind spot, though, with your running back analysis. And honestly, I think it's a popular one that is shared by a lot of people.
Age?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah,
I'm an ageist at running back.
And not necessarily that you were, like, you know, bashing Derrick Henry for his age.
No, that
was
more
you have bashed fit. Running backs who were in their late 20s, early 30s.
No, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, I think that I picked up on a bad spot there. I don't know why I'm adding an L. I guess because we're taking an L this segment. What do you got, Blankers?
The Jets. I thought the Jets were going to be a sexy pick to, again, not just make the playoffs. I had them winning the division. I had them possibly wreaking havoc in the playoffs. Yes, there's still time, but based on what I've seen, not enough time.
Loser.
I think they got a chance.
I think they're going to. I think they may squeak into the playoffs, but it's definitely not where I thought that they could.
No, I don't think they'll win the division. I don't think they're even with their new like version of themselves that they're a deep playoff run in them. But I think they have a shot to make the playoffs. I would have them making the playoffs in the AFC still.
Yeah, I think both them and the Bengals have a shot, but everything's got to fall their way.
Sure,
they can't be losing the one score games. They got to put it together quickly. And I just. Cincinnati's defense and the Jets just overall offensively look like a dumpster fire.
Yep. No, they've looked bad so far. I thought they would look better, too. My opinion of them is not as high as it was, but I still think they have a chance to figure it out. Brian's taking
Brian,
an L
you
for
can't
messing
throw
that up there.
With losers.
Yeah. Colts being a playoff team. I thought at the start of the year they'd be a playoff. Now, they are 3-3, which is probably a better record than their actual performance. But if I could do it again right now and predict the playoffs, I'm going to have the Colts out of the playoffs. I thought they were going to be a playoff team. So I'm taking the L on that one. I'm going to end up taking the L because they're going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah. You think the Colts? Wait.
No, said- I don't. I mean, that's why I'm taking the L. Is because I thought the Colts were a playoff team in the preseason. I don't think they're a playoff team now.
Yeah. My last one is also similar to that. I thought the Cardinals were going to be I know going into that week one game against the Bills, I thought they were going to be competitive and keep that within the number, and I think they actually
did.
So
yeah.
I hit on it for the purposes of Beasley money, but I thought overall the Cardinals, with the addition of Marvin Harrison Jr. and with Kyler Murray for the full season, they looked better when he came back. Mm-hmm. I thought Jonathan Gannon turned out to be a better head coach than I expected. I thought they'd be a very competitive team and probably win 8-9 games and maybe squeak into the playoffs. And sure, they got a road win in the division. Was it the Rams? It was the Niners. They beat the Niners on the road. But overall, we saw what happened in Green Bay last week. They just look like a dumpster fire of a team right now.
Oh, I got another one. Honorable mention.
I was on the Arizona over this year.
What was the line?
I think it was 7. So it's still in
play.
Yeah,
I was on the over, too.
Yeah.
What's disappointed me about Arizona is that they have a defensive-minded head coach, and their defense stinks.
Yeah, yeah
they have no pass rush.
I was leery of them even last week because Brian was on that train early, and I thought, you know what? They might, with the NFC, the way it all plays out, they might have a chance to sneak in, too. And then they just completely showed a whole lot of I don't care. The whole game in Green Bay, I mean, it was like 24-0 in the first half. I go, that's a Kyler Murray-led
Felt like
team?
They quit.
Yeah, they looked like they had a lot of other things more interesting than football.
Like Call
of Duty. That's the frustrating thing with Kyler Murray, the greatest athlete on planet Earth, is that he's just super inconsistent. Like, one week he'll look like, oh, okay, this is the Kyler Murray that can be a top 7 quarterback in the NFL. And then the next week it's like, that guy's a starter in the NFL? That's the inconsistency of Kyler Murray. It's probably because he doesn't take it all that seriously.
That's what I was going to say. His focus also seems to be on other things, not just the whole team.
Yeah.
Video games are important. The one that I forgot is when you guys, when we were talking about that, you guys were talking to the Colts, and I was like, wait a minute. I said I thought the Jags are better than the Colts. I thought the Jags would be the team that was going to be competing with the Texans for the division. And that doesn't look like it's going to even come close.
No, Jags are really bad. Really bad. They've had a very disappointing season. If they lose the Patriots Sunday, I think they're going to fire
Doug Peterson.
I think he would have been fired if they weren't in London. I mean, wherever they are, in Munich this week. I think that he'd already be gone.
I think that saved his job. I'm with you. But if they lose to the Pats,
he's done.
Dougie's donezo.
He's done.
Chargers are probably better than I thought. I didn't think they were going to be very good. They're better than I thought.
Yeah, and I'll throw one more. I did not. I think I had the Dolphins as my AFC East winner. Now, obviously, asterisk, caveat, Tua's injury. But I did not think the Bills would be able to. I don't think I even had the Bills in the playoffs. So
who was the guy? Who was the guy on the? I can't remember. Who was the guy on the show that had the Bills winning the AFC?
That was you. That was you.
I shouldn't be celebrating.
I know this is take an L segment, not to take the W segment. Yeah.
I erred on that one. Making the playoffs, I think, at the very bottom. But yeah, I didn't think they'd win the division because I thought the Jets would.
Yeah, the Tua thing is a big factor in that, though. They're a different team if they have Tua. Big C, he says that he's taking the L on the Saints winning the NFC South. I think that the Saints could just... I'm not sure they're going to win the game the rest of the year.
It's crazy.
They've had so many injuries. I mean, Carr's done. Now, Rattler's not a huge drop-off, but then the receivers, they're without Olave, they're without Shaheed. Like, Bub Means is the answer.
I don't think they're winning tonight.
Yeah.
Man.
They might just crumble the rest of the way because of injury specifically.
Yeah, because I think everybody kind of started to really feel good about themselves with the way they blasted the Cowboys.
Yep.
As, hey, everybody's sleeping on this team. No, maybe not.
Yeah, if it wasn't for Doug Peterson, I think the first coach fired would reside in New Orleans with Dennis Allen.
Dennis Allen saved by Dougie. 5798, I'm taking the L on Anthony Richardson is going to be a top five fantasy quarterback. A lot of people had that thought, though. I've been drafting in-season best balls. Anthony Richardson's going like QB 20.
Wow.
Which I actually think is good value.
Yeah, at that point, it's good value. But
yeah, I picked up a couple of them. 0002, who's more egregious? No backup Ryan or Joe George equating Lamar Jackson to Peyton Manning? I don't know about either of those things.
I don't. What did Joe say? I missed that one. What did Joe say? Lamar Jackson to Peyton Manning?
Yeah, I've never heard that one. 0002. Send us some context on that one, 0002. All right, do you want to win fantasy football this weekend? Yeah, you do. Well, Adam Rohn is next to answer the hard-pressing fantasy football questions that are going to put you in position to win. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
We bring Adam Aronis into the HR&P guest line, host of The Fantasy Life on Sirius XM, runs the Dub Club, in which he's up nearly 14 units, having a great start to the NFL season. He's going to play for you tonight, Broncos Saints. You can follow him on Twitter, Adam Aronis. Take advantage of that. Adam, crazy week when it comes to fantasy. Like, you've had tons of injuries. You've had some trades in the NFL. That's where I want to start, the trades. Jets making the trade, of course, for Devontae Adams. The Bills making the trade for Amari Cooper. What does this do for the Jets receiver room, the Bills receiver room, and even the Raiders and the Browns?
Well, it's a clear upgrade for Amari Cooper. He goes from uncatchable passes in Cleveland with Deshaun Watson now to Josh Allen. And it's clear the Bills needed that wide receiver. They have become a run-first team. Josh Allen has not attempted more than 30 passes in a game this season. In fact, the Bills run the fewest plays per game in the NFL, which is shocking to believe. So it really helps Cooper. With the Jets, clearly it's better for Devontae Adams. He was in a situation in Vegas. He didn't want to be there. Quarterback play was an issue. And now he goes with his best friend, Aaron Rodgers. Garrett Wilson, everyone's assuming it's awful for him. It doesn't help him because his target share is going to go from 28 to 30%, probably to 25, 26%, but they're still going to use him. He's still going to be fine. So maybe the expectations are a little bit lower considering he went in the first round of many drafts, but it really helped Aaron Rodgers. Like, that's the guy who benefits the most. Now he has Adams, he has Wilson, still has Lazard, Breece Hall, who we saw with the coaching chamber more involved in the offense. So it's really good for Aaron Rodgers from a fantasy perspective, and many people probably weren't starting him to begin with. So if you have him in a super flex league or one with two quarterbacks, he gets a boost. As far as Vegas, Brock Bowers, like, he was already an elite tight end, and now he's has a chance to finish as the number one or number two tight end this year. Jacoby Myers, obviously, will get an upgrade. He was out last week, so it should help him a little bit. But, yeah, that's the way I'm viewing it right now. But just, you know, don't trade away Garrett Wilson. He's still going to be very good. And you have to understand, too, maybe Davante Adams starts to get some of the top cover corners, which we've seen Wilson get this year and be affected by. So it could open things up. Davante Adams is clearly going to get a lot of targets near the goal line. So Wilson will have to get his touchdowns probably outside the 10.
Who would you rather have on your team the rest of the year, Adams or Garrett?
I would still rather have Garrett Wilson. I know a lot of people will say Davante Adams, but, you know, he is older. And Wilson, it's just, and Rodgers talked about it, just how explosive he is and his change direction with ease. So they were starting to get the synergy and the connection together. He had 22 targets 2 weeks ago. So I think it's close between both of them, but I'm going to go with Garrett Wilson.
Well, Adam, let's talk about some other situations also in flux. We don't know what the hell's going on in Pittsburgh. Mike Tomlin might take it all the way to game time, but whether it's Russell Wilson or the fact that you know that you can capitalize on the legs of a guy like Fields, how does that affect not only the quarterback, but more specifically the weapons there? And then also the game tonight with the Saints, when you know you're still rolling with Spencer Rattler and they continue to have injuries, anybody worth looking at as the Saints try to fill some holes?
Yeah, so with the Saints, this is a disaster because their almost entire offensive unit is gutted, including the offensive line, which has been a problem. So, yeah, Kamara's going to get the volume, but is this team going to be able to move the football? We found out Rashid Shaheed's meniscus is done for the year. That's a massive loss. Chris Olave should be back next week. Well, maybe, because it's a concussion. We've seen some players miss multiple weeks. So, yeah, it's a problem for the Saints right now. Even Taysom Hill, who we hoped, all right, if he plays, you know, this is a great opportunity, he's not going to be there. So if you're really digging deep, Bub Means, the receiver for the Saints, we saw him last week. It's not a great matchup, even though Patrick Surtain is going to be out tonight for Denver, so that kind of helps a little bit. You know, you could look at Jawan Johnson, but there's not much that I want to go. The total's 37.5 tonight, so it shouldn't be high scoring. So, like, Bub Means would be the guy that gets an upgrade, especially over the next couple weeks with Rashid Shaheed out. And, yeah, that's what I look at it with the Saints. And what was the other one, I'm sorry, that you asked?
Well, I'm talking about the Pittsburgh situation with Wilson.
Oh,
and how
Pittsburgh, yeah. Sorry, I was trying to forget them altogether, so that's fine. Look, Najee Harris has gotten volume, but it hasn't been great. The thing that boggles my mind here is this is an offensive line that is not good to begin with. And Fields has helped them with his mobility. And I know Fields hasn't been great, but he has improved. He's not turning over the football. He still takes too many sacks, but he's improved in that area. We know Wilson is not a mobile quarterback, and you're going to throw him out there against the Jets. And the weakness for the Jets is the rushing defense. And I thought Fields could take advantage of that. Now, it's not official yet, as you mentioned, but all signs are pointing to Russell Wilson. So maybe their plan is, hey, I'm going to throw Russell Wilson out there. He's going to stink against the Jets, and that gives me a reason to go back to Justin Fields. I don't know. I'm just throwing things out there because I just don't understand this. Some people will say, well, Fields limits the offense. But as far as from a fantasy perspective, you can use Najee Harris, but I'm a little worried because Jaylen Warren will be in his second game back, and we've seen Arthur Smith use multiple backs, and it's not like Najee Harris is having a great year. So it is a good matchup. I'm interested to see how much more Jaylen Warren gets involved. And George Pickens is just a dilemma right now because we know the talent is there, but they seem to limit his snaps, and it's a tougher matchup. So Pickens, to me, is more right around wide receiver 35. I don't think you have to start him. And Freiermuth, again, I like the talent, but they don't use him enough. He's not a must-start tight end. He's more in the mid-tight end two area, like 15 to 18.
Adam Ronis joining us from the Fantasy Life on SiriusXM. Adam, who are some guys that were drafted as starters based on their ADP that by this point going into week 7, maybe a guy like Calvin Ridley that you're like, okay, I thought this guy could be good, but he's just not, it's not going to happen for this. Who are some guys that were drafted as starters that you're completely writing off, whether it be for injuries or bad quarterback player, whatever it might be?
Yeah, Ridley is a good one. I think Christian Kirk might be in that conversation because he's not on the field for two wide sets. and you have Evan Engram back, who commanded a lot of targets last week, had 10 receptions, and that seems to be a go-to guy for Trevor Lawrence. I think right now, because Tua is out, you have to put Jaylen Waddle in that conversation. I think you could also make a case for Michael Pittman as well, depending on who the quarterback is, and it looks like Anthony Richardson could be back this week, so we've seen that doesn't bode well for Pittman. I mean, look, running back, it's, I guess, Rashad White, right? Because people were drafting him in the fourth round, and we've heard Todd Bowles come out and say, yeah, it's going to be three men in the backfield, and we're going to play the hot hand. And Rashad White, his value was volume. He's never been an efficient back, but last year there was no one to cut into his workload. We already saw Bucky Irving cut into it, and then we saw Sean Tucker have a big game last week. So Rashad White's in a bad situation. Travis Etienne as well. They said he was a hamstring issue. Now he's day-to-day. But we've seen Tank Bigsby with some explosive plays. They even used D'Ernest Johnson a lot when Etienne went out last week. So, and running back is all about opportunity. And we've seen so many injuries and guys just were plugging in Trey Sermon last week, and he wasn't great. But any running back that gets an opportunity, they're in. So it's hard to X out a running back. But, you know, those are just a couple of examples of running backs that we thought would get volume that now clearly are in timeshares or committee.
It sounds like the Tampa Bay backfield is just a bunch of unplayables, right? Like, unless you're drafting a best ball at this stage of the year where you can get those guys late, you're like, you're not playing them in a seasonal, are you?
I don't see how you can, because you just don't know how it's going to be distributed. And Rashad White, I don't think they completely phased him out, but his value really is in the passing game. I don't see how they give him many carries. So if I had to start one this week, it would be Bucky Irving. But the problem this week is they have one of the worst matchups against Baltimore, who is a top five in fewest fantasy points allowed to running backs. Teams don't even run on them. There's only been two running backs this year that have had double-digit carries in a game against Baltimore. The way to beat them is via the pass. So that's the other issue. And I want to see how this plays out. I do have Bucky Irving in a couple leagues and Rashad White. And look, there are some leagues where it's really deep and you might not have better options, but if you have the ability, I would look to stay away from the backfield for this week until we see how they actually deploy them.
Same idea with Nick Chubb, you know, waiting to see what he looks like before you insert him in a lineup?
Yeah, well, here's the problem with Nick Chubb, and I don't see how you can't love him. If you've watched him over the years, to me, at one point, he was the best all-around back in the NFL. The problem is, number one, this Cleveland offense is putrid, and the offensive line is not close to what they had years ago when he was healthy and dominating. So you take that, you take him coming off a serious knee injury, ACL, MCL, 28 years old, and we don't know the workload. Yeah, I am definitely tempering expectations, and I think you have to the rest of the year. This is just not the same offensive line that he ran behind. So you have to be very careful, and that's the risk. You know, you should always be learning lessons every year. One of the things I preach to people is don't believe what they tell you on injuries. They always are optimistic. We saw it with Christian McCaffrey week one. Oh, yeah, if it was a playoff game, he'd be out here in week two. And where is Christian McCaffrey right now? So always have lesser expectations. We're seeing it with Jonathan Brooks. I think people expected him to be back week five, week six. And, yes, they opened his window to return, but we don't know when he's going to be back. So always take that cautious approach. And Nick Chubb's another example. You don't know what the team is going to look like when these players come back. So I shy away from stashing these players when you know they're going to miss 6, 7, 8 weeks because you don't know if it's going to look as rosy as it does before the season when they return.
Adam, we love talking to you every week. We love talking fantasy football, but also keep everybody informed on the Dub Club because you're rolling on that as well.
Yeah, last week was actually a bad week where I went 5-3, so that should tell you the story for the season. 31-13 on the NFL for almost 14 units. So I have a play out for tonight. You can go to my Twitter, at Adam Ronis or X, whatever you want to call it, and you can actually get 50% off your first month. So, you know, try it out. Obviously, I can't stay the pod forever. I hope that I can, but it's been a really good start to the NFL season. And I also do NBA, which starts Tuesday. So for one price, you can get NBA and NFL.
Twitter for me, but I'm stubborn. Adam, appreciate the time. Enjoy the football weekend.
Thanks. You guys as well.
Adam Ronis, follow him on Twitter, at Adam Ronis, host of the Fantasy Life on SiriusXM, has been crushing it with the Dub Club. You won't find Adam on Bad Take Boulevard, but you will find others on Bad Take Boulevard, and you can chip in. Who belongs on Bad Take Boulevard this week? 713-780-ESPN. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Time to welcome some new takes.
Right this way.
To Bad Take Boulevard.
If only there was something in your head to control the things you say.
It's the dumbest argument ever.
With the Killer Bees.
Can I just say that I'm an idiot for listening to you?
Yeah, you can. You can say you'd be wrong, but you can say that. 713-780-ESPN. Bad Take Boulevard. What belongs on Bad Take Boulevard? 713-780-3776. This might have been my favorite thing from last Sunday. Well, it wasn't my favorite thing, but it was on the short list of some of my favorite things. Mark Sanchez, Dirty Sanchez himself, he was on the Panthers game. They don't allow him to do good games, but he was on the Panthers game, and he was giving some advice to Bryce Young. Listen to Dirty Sanchez with the advice.
Well, I think he's learning along the way. I think he needs to watch how a true professional...
Oh, intercepted. Clark Phillips will take it inside the five.
Wisely gets down.
And wanted to run the game, the clock out.
He said he needs to take advice from a true professional. And before he could finish the sentence, the true professional threw a pick. Threw a pick. The Red Rocket, the true professional that Dirty Sanchez is referring to, threw an interception as he sang it.
Yeah, that's pretty hilarious. That's kind of the season in a nutshell for Carolina, too. It would have been better if he butt fumbled.
Yeah, I see what you did there.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. And look, because you throw an interception doesn't mean that you're not a professional. But it's just the irony there was so good. So good. So, Mark Sanchez, you make the list.
You just made the list!
Dusty Baker, we'll talk a little bit more Dusty later. But Dusty Baker was talking to... He's doing the media thing right now because he's about to be on coverage for, you know, one of these championship series. I think it's the ALCS. I think it's
studio
TBS.
Studio for TBS, I think.
It's TBS. Yeah. So, he talked to the Houston Chronicle. He talked to the Kron. Blah, 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 blah. His take on Framber Valdez... Framber is probably the best left-hander in baseball, even ahead of the Tigers' Tarik Skubal, because Valdez has been doing it for longer. Dusty didn't watch the wild card round, huh? Skubal's the Triple Crown winner. He's the Cy Young winner. He's going to be. He out-dueled Framber in the wild card round. Framber was actually really bad in that game, where Skubal was, you know, he didn't allow a run. Was untouchable. From at least the Astros' perspective, this is back of the baseball card.
This is
back of the. There's no way that anybody's picking Framber over Tarik Skubal from 2024 going forward.
Yeah, right now, we're not talking about anything of what Framber's done in the past. You just have to watch a little more baseball to realize Skubal's been unbelievable.
So, Dusty Baker.
You just made the list.
I hate to do it to you, Dusty, because I love you. I love you. I got a T-shirt with your face on. I love you. But you made the list. CBS Sports, they had a trade deadline article published yesterday morning. The trade that they suggested for the Houston Texans was that they trade Dameon Pierce to the Vikings. Oof. This was published yesterday morning. Yesterday morning. When did the Akers trade happen?
Was the was night, Tuesday. The afternoon before.
Tuesday.
The afternoon before, yeah.
It was Tuesday. And like, maybe you could say, well, it was published before. They went back and edited it. That's why the timestamp is different. The Davante Adams trade was fixed. It was fixed. So CBS Sports, you make the list.
You just made the list.
Acknowledging that the Cam Akers trade happened.
Acknowledge me.
And acknowledge things. Stephen A. Smith. Stephen A.'s always on the list. Why did he make it this time?
Well, he apparently is, by his own words, a diehard Yankees fan, even though I kind of question that because when you hear him talk about baseball, I don't think he's very diehard about anything in the sport. Because I think he made it, a week or two ago about wanting to ban the intentional walk. But he went on this long diatribe that we're about to hear a portion of, crediting the Mets for helping the Yankees turn into what they're having now, a very good postseason.
I'm a diehard Yankee fan. I don't root against the Mets except for when they're playing the Yankees. But I got to tell you, I actually screamed in jubilation when Lindor hit that grand slam. You understand what I said last week? I mean, I loved it because it was exciting for me. And here's what I love about the Yankees. The Yankees see what's going on. And they say, wait a damn minute. This is New York, baby. It's Yankees. This is our town. We ain't going to have you. We understand, you know, every 20 years or so you show up and be relevant. You understand? And try to act like you're going to bring a championship to Queens. That's cool. But not this time. The fact that the New York Yankees are doing what they're doing while the Mets are winning is a beautiful thing because it shows me they're embracing the moment, which they haven't done since 2009.
Take it easy.
I'm
loving that.
So you say that the Yankees are only good because the Mets are having success?
He's crediting the Mets for lighting a fire under the Yankees and leading to their success this postseason, yes. And you hear Mad Dog at the end tell him, take it easy.
That's a bad take.
Yeah.
He has them every day. He had some again today. He just...
Well, the very idea that the Yankees since 2009 would go World Series-less, but now that the Mets are in the playoffs, now they really want it. It wasn't enough for the Astros to beat their brains in four times in the playoffs. That didn't motivate the Yankees. What they really needed was the Mets in the postseason. So, Stephen A.
You just made the list.
It has nothing to do with they had an easy ride to the World Series.
Nothing at all. It's
apparently
the
Mets. With their cross-town.
Where are you on that? I've had friends push back at me when the playoffs start. I said, the Yankees got a cakewalk. The Yankees are going to cakewalk right to the World Series. Mm-hmm. And the pushback is they went four games with the Royals. There's no way that was a cakewalk. They got a cakewalk.
Yeah, it's great. Royals are a fine baseball team. The Guards are a fine baseball team. But if your path to the World Series is the Royals and the Guards.
Seriously.
That's a pretty easy path.
When was the last time
we
took the AL Central seriously? And you went through two AL Central teams.
Yeah, the Tigers did beat the Astros, but that's really a testament to the Astros.
Yeah.
Baseball playoffs are difficult. It's a coin flip series. Baseball is a coin flip sport, but that's an easy path. Like, you didn't have to beat, you know, the Astros to get there. The Astros have been in the ALCS seven straight years, and that the Yankees don't have to play the Astros, that's not a real path. It's not a real path for the Yankees. But Stephen A., you made the list. 0002, back with the context for Joe George. He says that Joe George read Lamar's stats, and he said they were comparable to Peyton Manning's stats in each of their first few years in the league. I don't know. That's a weird thing.
It certainly wasn't on passing yards. Certainly wasn't on rushing yards. Definitely wasn't on interceptions. Peyton threw a lot in his first season.
Rushing yards, definitely not. Like
And it wouldn't have been on passing yards because Lamar doesn't throw for a ton other than that first MVP season.
I'd like to think that Joe wasn't reading Lamar's stats and Peyton Manning's stats and comparing them.
But I don't know that for sure. What he could have looked at to say, oh, it's similar. Maybe completion percentage, maybe. I doubt that. It certainly wouldn't have been passing yards. It wouldn't have been passing touchdowns other than the MVP year. Lamar had 30-plus passing touchdowns his first MVP year. Obviously, it wasn't rushing yards. So what could have been the comparison?
I don't know. 0002, can you timestamp us? Go back and look at it back in the day. I hate to put Joe unfairly on Bad Take Boulevard. I don't know how they were comparable.
Yeah, I think we have to have audio or some kind of verification. Maybe Sean Mapes can back it up.
Lamar won MVP his second year in the league. Peyton Manning was second. Are you talking accolades?
He was reading the stat sheet, though.
It's what he said, but maybe he confused it with accolades versus stats.
Yeah, Joe's not even in the city.
I was going to say he's in Chicago, and I don't want
to
bother.
We can't even get him on the phone to verify this.
Yeah, you're going to have to send us some proof, 0002. If you're going to come with allegations like that, we need receipts.
Slanderous, sir.
In fact, because you didn't send receipts, 0002, you made the list.
You just made the list!
You're bringing that kind of slander, you're bringing that kind of accusation, and you're not showing any proof. So you made the list, 0002, for that foolish behavior. Just bring the. I don't disagree that you might not be wrong, but I just need to see the proof of it. All right, Brad Kellner, he's going to join us next because BreMac wants to talk about Texas football. Oh, they do have a big game, Texas Georgia, big game coming up this week. We'll ask Brad about the SEC too, and we will ask Brad about the greatness that is the Big 12 because Texas struggled in the Big 12. They go to the SEC and now they're carrying water for the league. A deductive reason. All right, Brad Kellner next. No? It is the Bees on ESPN. No. On ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, look, we've been giving you all kinds of opportunities to get some winners. If you're hearing some things you like out of Adam Ronis or Lee Sterling or both and you want to put some money down, the place I always tell you to go, it's mybookie.ag. Mybookie.ag, place you want to be. If you want to put some money down, you want a place that's going to also give you opportunities to get more money into your account so that you can have more fun. Right now, they're doing it again. Use our promo code whenever you hear it and see a place where you can use it. It's bet975. Go to mybookie.ag right now and sign up for your account. They're going to double your first deposit up to $1,000. It's phenomenal, and all it takes is you using our promo code when they ask for it, which is bet975. You have more money in your account, you're going to have more games you can bet on, more chances you can win, and the fact is they're all about taking care of you, the customer. They've got MyBookie Plus right now, which you get signed up in when you sign up with your account. The more frequently you use MyBookie.ag, the higher the tiers you will go within the rewards program. The higher you go, the better the rewards you get, and so on and so forth. It's phenomenal. It's just another way they're looking out for you, the customer. You can even pay with crypto if that's what you want, because they want to make it easy for you. And the fact is, even if there's not games going on or you want to take a break from games but you still like to gamble, you don't have to go to Vegas or to Louisiana. All you got to do is go to mybookie.ag, where live dealers are standing by. They'll be dealing poker and blackjack and so many casino games that you can get in on that too. They are phenomenal, and all it takes is you getting it started by going to mybookie.ag and using our promo code BET975. It's like I always tell you to do. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere. With the only place I tell you to do it, it's mybookie.ag, promo code BET975.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
We go out to the HRP guest line where Brad Kellner is awaiting. Follow him on Twitter at Brad Kellner, as you know. Texas Sports Unfiltered. Brad, what do you make of the Big 12? The fact that Texas couldn't ever win the Big 12 and they go to the SEC and they're carrying water for the league. What does Texas season prove about the greatness that is the Big 12?
Hold on, Jeremy. Did you forget who won the Big 12 last year?
That was their only Big 12 win, like, in the last 7 years.
Yeah, longer than that. You're being too kind.
How far was it, 10 maybe?
Yeah, 2009, when Colt McCoy
was
at Texas, was the last time the Horns had won the Big 12 before winning it last season. So, hey, the Big 12 has been a lot of fun. It's a great race at the top, and there's a lot of drama. And, hey, now other teams actually have a chance to win. Texas and Oklahoma are both gone.
Not exactly true, but I appreciate it. A little jab for jab.
Hey, BK, what's going on, man?
Wow.
Curious about the big game this weekend. I mean, Texas, Georgia, I hate to think that you and Brian McDonald are going to be both a little upset at me, but I already am predicting a Georgia upset in Austin. What says you, and how do the Horns prevent that from happening?
Yeah, it feels weird, Joel, to say a Georgia upset, right? I mean, it's been a long time since they've been an underdog in a regular season game, and it's been a long time that they've lost a game to anybody not named Alabama, right? You got to go all the way back to the COVID season in 2020 to find the last time Georgia lost a football game to anybody not named Alabama. So it's weird to see Texas as a favorite. Obviously, the money's been coming in on the Longhorns all week long. I think it's up to 5 now on ESPN Bet. So it's wild to think that Georgia could have 2 losses by the end of October. But to answer your question, yeah, look, Texas has to do what it's been doing, right? I mean, the Longhorns have the number one defense in America, the number one scoring defense, number one total defense, the number two pass defense. They've got to keep rolling the way they have on that side of the ball. And they need a lot better performance from Quinn Ewers, right? Like, they need the Quinn Ewers from the first 2.5 games of the season, the guy who was the Heisman favorite before he got hurt against UTSA, to show up in Austin. Because that was not the guy we saw at the Cotton Bowl this past weekend. Now, Oklahoma was so bad, and their offense was so banged up that it didn't matter. Texas still won that game 34-3, but obviously Georgia's a completely different beast. So Texas needs the Quinn Ewers that went on the road to the Big House and just dominated the Michigan defense that's full of NFL talent. They need that version of Quinn to show up and get it done against a Georgia defense that obviously has a bunch of NFL talent, too.
What are the vibes of the fan base right now? I mean, I can predict. I imagine that they're very good. But ahead of Georgia, do you feel like it's excitement? Do you feel like it's, you know, arrogance? We're going to be able to hammer Georgia? Or is there a little bit of healthy fear because it is the Bulldogs?
I don't think there's a lot of fear. Yeah. I mean, look, my self-diagnosed UTSD is kicking in, so I'm terrified for this game. But I think Texas fans feel incredibly confident, right? And the Longhorns, albeit against an easier schedule, they have looked much better than Georgia has. And the numbers look a lot better for Texas than they do for Georgia. So I think it's fair that Texas is favored in this game because through six games, I think they've been the more impressive team. So you know, Longhorn fans are confident, right? Like they've won every game by at least three scores. They've only trailed once this season, and that was in the first quarter, 3-0 to Oklahoma last week. So I think Texas fans are feeling really good about where this team is right now, and I think the Longhorns, for the most part, are very confident that they're going to find a way to get this thing done on Saturday night.
Brad Kellner joining us on the HRNP guest line. Brad, looking at the SEC, you see four teams in the top 10, Texas, Georgia, Alabama, LSU, two more in the top 15, Tennessee, Texas A&M, and then two more in the top 20, Ole Miss and Missouri. How many SEC teams do you think get into the 12-team playoff?
I think it's at minimum four. I think there's a chance it gets to five, but I think the SEC needs a little bit more chaos around the country for that to happen. But I think at least four SEC teams get in. Now, which four will it be when it's all said and done? That's a completely different question. But I think this league is too talented. I think this league is too deep to have anything less than four that make it. I think the two teams that make the SEC championship game will find a way, and then I think there will be two teams that maybe go 10-2, but don't make it to Atlanta in early December. That will get those at-large bids in the 8-11 range in the 12-team playoff. So I think there's a lot of SEC bias. I'll say that even though my team is now in the SEC, I think SEC bias is a real thing. I think the TV partners want to get as much SEC action as they can. So if there is a close call between an SEC team and an ACC team or an SEC team and a Big 12 team, I think the SEC is going to get the nod more often than not, Jeremy. So I'll say four with a better chance at five than three.
BK, I'm curious because you didn't throw a whole lot of Big Ten in there, and you know that can sometimes get me feeling a certain kind of way. You watched that game the other night. Were you not impressed with the fact that I have to admit Oregon was way more than I thought they were? I thought they were good. I didn't think they were that good. I saw two really good football teams on Saturday night.
Yeah, I think both of those teams are making the playoff, right? And there's a chance we get that game two more times this year. I'd be surprised. I know Penn State's undefeated. I know they're ranked ahead of Ohio State right now, but I'd be pretty surprised if we don't get Oregon-Ohio State part two in the Big Ten title game and then maybe a third matchup in the college football playoff. So, look, all three of those teams, I think, have a very, very good chance to make it. Matter of fact, I'd pick all three of those teams to make it to the 12-team playoff. And yeah, Oregon looks good. Like, I picked Oregon to beat Ohio State this past weekend. Now, Ryan Day, he's 1-7 against top five teams in his coaching career. So he's a great coach. He hasn't lost a lot in Columbus. But in big games, more often than not, his team has come up short. So he's got to get that proverbial monkey off of his back. But, no, there's no doubt, Joel. Those are two really, really talented teams, two national championship contenders. And if the Longhorns are going to be competing for a national title when the calendar turns, they're going to have to run through one, if not both, of those teams.
I got another one for you, buddy. I'm gonna switch gears a little bit, but it literally is, wait for it, right in your wheelhouse. You love the Cowboys. You faked it well while you were here, by the way, but you admitted it. But now you see what goes down as a radio guy, too. What you saw happen with Jerry Jones, the meltdown on the radio, threatening those guys' jobs, and just where that how you saw that situation in the state of the Cowboys.
Yeah, Joe, I don't get that wheelhouse joke. What were you going for with that? What does that mean?
Well, I was
going
to use Red Weasel, and I thought that might kind of set you back a ways, so I just went right to the easy stuff.
Oh man, yeah, what a scenario for the Cowboys, right? It's the gift that keeps on giving, the circus that is the Dallas Cowboys franchise. Now, I had a couple of people ask me this week, like, why now, right? It's been almost 30 years since the Cowboys have played for a Super Bowl. Why is Jerry Jones losing his mind on the beach yet right now? I thought about it for a second, and I think part of it's the fact that Jerry's now 82. I think he's old. I think he's cranky. I think he's senile, and maybe there's a little dementia combined with all of those things. But, Joe, it's been a long time since the Cowboys have been in this situation. And look, the Cowboys have had bad years recently, but it feels like the most recent bad seasons the Cowboys have had, they've had the excuse of a quarterback injury to kind of, bank on, right? 2020, the COVID year, the Cowboys were awful. Well, Dak got hurt early in the season, so they had that excuse. 2014, Cowboys ended up with four wins. They were drafting in the top five. Well, Tony Romo got hurt early in the season. I think you have to go all the way back to 2004. The last time the Cowboys were like this bad, and they didn't have the excuse of a hurt starting quarterback. And that was when Vinny Testaverde was leading the Cowboys to a 6-10 record that year. So it's been a while since the Cowboys have been in this spot. And, yeah, 20 years going from 62 to 82, you get a lot crankier in that time frame. I think Jerry's just going through it right now. I think he's in a little bit of denial that his team looks as bad as it does. And I think he's taking out his frustration on guys who are just trying to do their job up in Dallas.
Brad Kellner, today was a first in Killer Bee history. We had a father-son guest. You, the son, Lee Sterling, the father. Do you want to say anything on this groundbreaking day?
Wow. Wow. Well, congratulations to you guys for getting two generations of Kellner in your life. That is huge. Most people only wish they could be this lucky. But what an awesome show. I mean, this is Marconi Award-winning radio for you guys. So congrats on being able to land two of the biggest fishes, or fish eye, whatever the plural of fish is, in the industry on the same day. That's impressive work.
Slow down. Now you're talking fish, too, so you're talking more language. But we had the father and the son. If we get the Holy Ghost, not that it's your forte, but it's either Halloween or we're really rolling.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm allowed to respond to that as a Jewish man. I don't know if I can make any comment on that. I'm worried I'm going to get all of us canceled.
Yeah, I started a Netflix show that stars a rabbi yesterday. So I think I'm halfway there, BK.
Yeah, welcome to the trot. Just, you know, you can take our jokes like Seinfeld. That's good. But you got to learn how to read from right to left, Jeremy. I'll teach you that.
Oh, I'm out then. If that's what it takes, I'm out. BK, thanks so much for your time. Enjoy Saturday. It's going to be a lot of fun there, I'm sure.
As always, guys. Always appreciate it. Thank you all.
Thanks, buddy.
Brad Kellner joining us on the HRNP guest line, host, owner, CEO, all the things. Making money moves with Texas Sports Unfiltered. Always a good time to talk to BK. Today is National Mulligan Day. If you got one do-over again in Houston sports, what would it be? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. If you're a business owner, the mulligan that you shouldn't have right now is that you need to get HR&P in your life. That way you can spend your time, your resources on growing your company and doing the things within your company that you want to be doing. Mike Colley, U of H class of 1990, go Cougs. Chris Fisher over there, great people at HR&P. Their team's fantastic. They've been protecting the interests of businesses for nearly 25 years, and it's time for you to allow them to protect the interest of your business. HRP provides comprehensive human capital management services, which is including HR compliance, benefits administration, payroll, and so much more. HRP is great to have on your side. They're going to work with you to customize a plan for whatever you need. There's nothing cookie cutter about HRP. You're not reading off a menu. If you need a little help, a lot of help, anything in between, HRP will create a plan for what you and your business needs. Their customer service, second to none. You'll never talk to a stranger on the other side of the line. You'll be calling someone that's familiar with your company. They care so much about your company. I can speak to that customer service anytime I have a question. Always a quick response. Very easy to understand. You can tell that they care. Let HRP take on the demands of human resources. Eliminate your HR burden so you can get back to growing your business. Give them a call at 281-880-6525. Let HRP customize a plan for you. 281-880-6525 or check them out at HRP.net. That's HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5.